What up, though? This is Big Snoop Dogg, and I'm inside the Swollen Dome.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back inside the Swollen Dome. Mike Harmon back with you, as always, ready to take you upon my broad shoulders and lead you, to carry you to fantasy domination. Joining me on the line today, special day as we do it each and every fall leading up to the first week of the NFL season, my man Paul Charchin. You know him as the president of the FSTA. You know him from League Safe. You know you have delinquent commissioners out there. We'll talk about the product in a minute. And Fantasy Victory, where he dominates in the cheat sheets, and sometimes he plays video games, maybe sleeps an hour or two, and watches Bad Homes. He is Paul Charchin. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, great to talk to you. The video game thing, we should do a whole podcast someday on just video games. I mean, that would be pretty awesome. But yeah, that's a whole different thing that I do. See, almost nobody in the industry knows that I have a video game radio show in the Twin Cities. It's kind of like my secret shame. You know, I don't talk about that a lot.
But what you get to do when you hide in the basement during the winter months in Minnesota, when you wait for that sun to break out, for some of the ice to cross the lake, so you can go outside again.
That's right, for 20 full minutes. We're big fans of the sun here, and that's about it. So it's a lot of beer, a lot of video games in the winter. That's all okay. But I'm right now, of course, our attention entirely on getting ready for the draft.
All right, so we have two big stories that are out there right now. One football, one baseball. I got to get your take on this. Brian Dempster gets 5 games for throwing at A-Rod. I contend they added a couple of games for the fact that it took him 4 pitches to do it.
My feeling is that every pitcher in an ideal scenario, in my mind, every pitcher for the rest of the year would plunk him. Just a tacit understanding that what he has done is so toxic for the league, and that he flouted the rules. And after he got caught, he kept using. I mean, there's nothing about what he did that is not abhorrent to the game. I would love it if the dude got plunked every single first at bat for the rest of the year. That would make me so happy.
You're on that angle. I'm on the, since you have the CBA in place and he can appeal, look, bottom line is he's eligible and he's trying to earn money on the field to pay for his upcoming legal battle. And Dempster's going to use that same CBA to try to argue down his 5-game suspension. And that's why he didn't openly admit to throwing at him the other day.
Yeah, I thought it was a classy move to plunk that loser, and I delighted in it, and I can only hope that it continues to happen. So that's my rooting interest in this, and I'm probably alone, and maybe it makes me small and vindictive, but I don't care. He cheated.
I like that you're a man of your convictions there, so I got
no problem with
that.
All right, sorry,
and then obviously we have the other thing going on where guys are swinging helmets on the field, and basically he gets suspended for 2 preseason games and 1 regular season game. Seems a little light for Antonio Smith to me.
Yeah, you know, suspending a guy for a preseason game, who cares?
He's going to say thank you very much, right?
Yeah, exactly. It seems silly. The great thing, because all the football players are wearing all the pads and everything, there's not even a point to even having a ball or swinging anything. You're not even hurt anyone. So I just, it's so stupid. But at least that's one less thing to have to worry about in football.
Just to hope that you don't get hit with one of those haymakers, then we got big problems. But let's get to the task at hand. It's ranking season, and obviously we've had a number of big injuries.
Yeah.
Everybody looking for that next great thing. 2 big pieces of news today, right? Michael Vick named the starter. Was anybody expecting anything other at this point?
You know, I did talk to some people that thought it was sneaky close with Nick Foles, but it always seemed like it was Vick's job to lose, didn't it? But Foles ran, was more familiar with it from a college, this offense from his days in college, but I don't think ultimately that ended up making up for the talent differential. Vick, I'm of the belief that what it takes to draft Vick, which is borderline last pick your draft territory, at that value, he does have freaky upside. I mean, we're talking about a guy just a couple of years removed from being in an argument for the number one player to be taken in drafts, and if, let's say, this wacky Chip Kelly up-tempo offense actually works some or a lot of the time, he may run, Mike Vick might run what, a third or half, 50% more plays than the next closest team in the NFL. There's some solid upside in a guy who is probably too, you know, because of everything that happened last year and a horrible lost season for the Eagles, probably too much hate for him, I think, right now, and not enough people seeing the upside, is my opinion. Where do you stand on it?
Yeah, I mean, I love the upside argument, and certainly from the number of plays that you call. Look, you could chart the last 5 years of the NFL. Most games are within about five plays, unless they go to OT or you're running an efficient two-minute drill. So there's usually not a lot of variance there. But certainly the way this offense rolls, the question is, can he stay healthy? And that's, you know, what are we banking on? Are we saying 13 games? Is it 14, maybe? You know, I think that's the larger issue that comes in with Vic. You know, obviously we can look at the weapons and the loss of Macklin, but they still have Jason Avant, who's not exciting, but he's efficient.
No.
You have two good tight ends when they're healthy, and Celek and Zach Ertz coming into things. DeSean Jackson, still just a burner. And then Riley Cooper, who for all the off-field vitriol of the preseason, is a guy that's going to have to take on a big role for them. And then you have two speed backs. So with Michael Vick, he's a guy that I don't know how high I can be argued up into him. I think I started him at about number 20, and I don't know that I can jump him much higher just based on the fact that I'm not expecting him to finish a full 16.
Yeah, you know, I've got him at 19. I'm not, even after everything I said, I'm not advocating him taking any higher than that. But at that price, that's, you know, at that point I'm interested in him, and I like his upside, and if he's my second quarterback, I feel pretty good about that. And I, you know, like I said, there is some freakish upside in him that I think people are missing the boat on.
No, I would absolutely agree, and he's a guy, especially if he's getting to run a little bit and they get him out, and obviously they drafted Lane Johnson to shore up some of the offensive line woes that they had. I mean, there's certainly opportunity for the big play potential. You look at that bottom set of QB2s, and you and I are in the middle of a draft right now that has probably taken, what, about 6 weeks?
Okay, it feels that way, yeah.
It does feel that way. Well, we're getting into the kicker and defenses round, so we're almost there.
Yeah.
But a guy that was on the board until this last round, one of them's still out there, veterans in Matt Schaub and Phillip Rivers. Now, with Rivers, I went and saw the Chargers at training camp, and I was all excited because that was when Denario Alexander was running around.
Yeah.
And then I get
a
text the next day that he was lost. But Matt Schaub, a guy going as a, you know, 21st, 22nd quarterback off the board, I couldn't push him much higher.
No.
But by the same token, it just doesn't feel right.
I think it doesn't feel right because he's a competent quarterback on a playoff caliber team, and he does give you that explosive game once a year. It's just all the games around it, Mike, that just are so uninspiring. I mean, you know, if you want 225 yards and a touchdown, he's your guy because you're going to get that most weeks. But you know, this team runs in the red zone so much, you get nothing up close in terms of short touchdowns, and they just don't throw into the end zone enough. In fact, I've got a pretty good stat related to that as I'm
Hit
thinking
me.
About this off of the top of my head, related to Andre Johnson. Andre Johnson has had only 16 red zone targets in the last 2 years. 22 different wide receivers had 16 or more red zone targets just last year.
Yeah.
Andre Johnson's a great receiver. They just don't throw to him. It's nothing in the end zone, so he's got to make his own touchdowns from distance. That's a lot of the problem with Schaub as well.
A lot of the wishing and hoping that Mr. Hopkins can help stretch things there as well. One other quarterback that I think people are either really bullish on or just don't want any part of it is Josh Freeman over in Tampa. He's got the two $95 million wide receivers, but this is a guy that's also drifting as a late second quarterback. You mentioned the 225-1 line. That was Freeman 2 years ago. Last year, defense suffered, and they just started winging the ball all over, and it was an erratic, oftentimes pathetic effort for some of that, with Doug Martin obviously leading the way as best he could. But upside for him at all, or is that about proper value?
Personally, I think it's about right, Mike. You know, he did have a career year in yards and touchdowns last year, but I think you're right. A lot of that was generated off a terrible pass defense that put them in the hole in a lot of games early, and that he was doing, you know, he was throwing the ball a lot more than they want him to, and that this is first and foremost a Doug Martin run game offense, and with asking Josh Freeman to merely be as efficient as need be. And I don't trust Josh Freeman yet. Maybe I should. I mean, I'm I'm just not feeling it when I, maybe it's just for me, it's more eye test, Mike. So, you know, sometimes, you know, it's fantasy guys, and they're always tempted to say, you know, there's a lot of different stats. I just threw out all the Andre Johnson red zone stuff. But sometimes you just look at the eye test and go, you know what? I just don't see anything really special here. And that, for me, that's kind of the case with Josh Freeman. What about you?
I think I'm with you. And I think one of the things that's been lost in a lot of the people looking for the gaudy numbers and they get excited with Vincent Jackson down the field. You look at the efficiency rating with Vincent Jackson, about 52% completion rate on attempts to Vincent Jackson, a lot of deep balls going out his way. But the bigger thing is Tampa Bay gets both their guards back, two guys that missed the entire 2012 season. So if anything, we're going to look at that ground game even under more pressure and more scrutiny and probably a bigger role for them to keep that defense off the field.
Yeah, and, you know, the defense will probably be better, but, you know, with the return of the two guards that they've got, I got to believe that they're really going to go into grind mode with Doug Martin. I know I would, and that's part of my expectation anyway. So hopefully, you know, for those of us that have Doug Martin ranked number two, that's where I got him.
Yes.
Then that's what I'm counting on. Carl Nix, Gavin Joseph, let's open up some big running lanes for Doug Martin.
I was feeling pretty good, you know, that I was had gone out on a limb, and then all of a sudden the ADP of Doug Martin crept up to where he is that number two guy.
Yeah.
Obviously, that means that Arian Foster has to bounce. I picked him up in a recent experts draft down at the number nine slot, and even now with some of the words of what's going on with his back and such, I don't feel as excited about that number nine pick as I did a week ago.
Mm-hmm. It's Arian Foster's is in a bit of a free fall, and who you're going to end up taking at the end of the first round gets to be increasingly dicey. I'm of the belief that, and I'm interested in your thoughts on this, Mike, there are, in my mind, six running backs that I feel really pretty good about, and I'm happy taking it with the first six picks. And then after that, I'm starting to turn my attention to Calvin Johnson, Jimmy Graham in tight end mandatory leagues. And after six guys, I start getting more nervous about a lot of different people. How do you feel?
Well, you keep wondering how much the shift is, right? Obviously, we take Adrian Peterson there in Minnesota, and we ask him to walk through a metal detector. Forget PEDs. I want to know if he's a cyborg, Charchin. That is your task for this preseason to ask that question. Obviously, we talked about Doug Martin. We've got some scares with Jamaal Charles, but if he's on the field, we know what to expect. And there's some excitement there for that Kansas City offense to see what Andy Reid can do with Alex Smith and I guess A.J. Jenkins now slipping into the number two, but we'll talk about that another time.
No, he can't be number two, can he? No, can't be. Ew.
I was always waiting for Jonathan Baldwin to come around, and finally, look, I went and saw Jenkins, and I went and saw a 49ers practice, and the frustration from Colin Kaepernick was palpable along the side. Yeah, and then obviously we look at what, you got Spiller, and the potential there, obviously the big run, the big play capability. And then I know you're bullish on Trent Richardson.
I am
somewhat nervous of his health potentially popping up. And then one I'd like to talk about for a second, if I can get your opinion, Marshawn Lynch is one of those guys. The fact that they drafted Turbin and they drafted Christian Michael this year leaves me a little reticent to believe that in those games down the stretch, that he's going to have a huge workload if this team performs as expected.
I don't throw this sort of stuff around very often. So, I'm not trying to sound like a big shot, but you know, the handful of NFL, legitimate handful of NFL connections I've got, one is on that team. And I asked that exact question. Am I safe going to bat with Marshawn Lynch, or is Christian Michael going to be enough of an X factor here? And I was assured that this is still, even over Russell Wilson, this is a Marshawn Lynch team. And we are talking about no player's had more games with 100 yards and a touchdown over the last 2 years as Marshawn Lynch, almost half of his games. And as consistent as you can ask for, I just feel like this is a very good offense that's going to score a lot of points, and it's still going to go through Marshawn Lynch. So, you know, one of the few handcuffs I'm really interested in having, Christian Michael, but Turbin, not a factor anymore, and he goes to third string, and I'm not drafting. In fact, I unhandcuffed Lynch and Turbin in one of my dynasty leagues by dropping Turbin outright.
There we go. We had to feel bad for our friends in leagues that already drafted Dustin Keller, but it's a great example of why you don't draft leagues
Yeah.
Before the preseason is near its finale. just to finish the Lynch point, the thing that I think I'm most concerned about is just the violent running style and the fear that eventually we hit that big load, particularly as I look at that wide receiving core, and as much as I like the potential flashiness of a Golden Tate and the occasional rising up of a Sidney Rice, I'm fearful that they're going to have to run the ball 40 times a game.
Yeah, well, Russell Wilson's a pretty good player. I don't know if they're going to, and even if they do run it that much, boy, at some point I think I'd be getting some pretty good numbers out of Lynch. But keep in mind, we've been talking about Marshawn for a long time, so he feels like an old player with a lot of tread off of the tire, but he's only 27 years old.
That's right, 2007 draft, and that's the frightening thing.
Yeah, and, you know, last year was the first year he had more than 285 carries in a season. He only had 315, which is not like massive workhorse numbers, right? It's not like the 450 touches that Arian Foster had last year.
Right.
So I still feel like there's plenty left with Marshawn Lynch, and that we ought to be able to still get another few seasons of good use out of him.
It's my curiosity. I love that division this year, which is frightening because 4 years ago everybody wanted them relegated to another league. but here we are with the NFC West. Look, I know we both have pressing concerns in this great world. Give folks a quick plug on League Safe, what they can find there, and the content over at Fantasy Victory.
So the bit on League Safe is this. The internet's taken away pretty much all of the workload out of being a commissioner, with the one exception of trying to get your deadbeat friends to pay up. And, you know, you show up at the draft and one dude's got cash, another one's got a check, somebody's going to PayPal you, one guy's got an IOU, one guy's got a sock full of pennies, and you got four guys who are out of state that are mailing you checks. And with League Safe, all you have to do is email a link to all of your league members, and they just follow the link, pay into your league's balance. We lock down the funds for the year, so the commissioner's not off buying new shoes or betting on the Lions. And with that money, and then at the end of the year, day the season ends, tell us who won, and everybody gets paid. So that's the bit. Deposits are totally free. And so, yeah, we encourage people to try that out. And my cheat sheet, available at fantasyvictory.com right now, along with player videos that explain my rationale on all of the different players.
And he will look you in the eye, and he will argue with you vehemently about the players he supports. And obviously you have the podcast over at Fantasy Victory and the League Safe podcast as well. Lots going on. We look forward to doing a much longer rendition of this and when we can find the time, of course, and as we watch these cyborgs take over in the NFL.
I love that. Thanks, Mike.
Mike Arnold, inside the Swollen Dome. That is Paul Charchian. We'll see you again next time.
Fantasy footballers, you've heard me talking about League Safe for years. League Safe is a commissioner's dream come true. Commissioners, you know at some point collecting entry fees is going to be a problem. You never get everyone to pay on time. And suddenly you're a collection agency nagging your deadbeat friends to just pay up. League Safe is an online entry fee solution for your fantasy league. With all the ease of buying a book online, your league owners can deposit funds into your league's account. League Safe is free. It's fast. You'll set up your league in less than 3 minutes. Your team owners will click a link and instantly be ready to pay into your league's balance. Their payments are free. And best of all, League Safe will send reminders to your deadbeats for you. Then in season, League Safe locks down your league's entry fees. Nobody's fees are being used to pay bills or buy shoes or, even worse, betting on Detroit to cover the spread. When the season's over, League Safe is ready to pay within hours of the end of the season. Have you ever been paid within hours of the end of the season? Fantasy commissioners, get out of the middle of your league's finances. Try LeagueSafe.com.